Good morning. Bring greetings in Jesus' name to y'all. Thank you for that encouragement to encourage each other. Enjoyed the service so far, Sunday school, and devotions. I felt led to talk about the law of sowing and reaping, and I didn't realize how closely it tied to the Sunday school lesson and of what Pilate did, his choices, and what the people, the Jews, the choices that they made had a reaping. One thought that was given in Sunday school was your actions determine who you really are, and that goes right along with the idea of sowing and reaping. It's that time of year when farmers are thinking about planting, working the ground, preparing the fields to receive the seed, and gardeners, you're also starting to get the itch to get in the garden and to get ready for a new growing season. Maybe you have seeds that are started inside already, and they have begun to sprout and to grow. Why do farmers plant? Why do gardeners plant seeds? Well, I think we all know it's to get a harvest. It's the most important part of the work, most important part of the year. Without a planting, there will be no harvest. And the same is true for our lives. Although we don't decide if we plant or not, we are planting, no matter if we try to or not. But are we thinking about what we're planting? Are we thinking about the harvest? Now, right off, we can tend to maybe think this is maybe a negative subject, and there is a negative side to it. But it is the reality of life. It is God's law. God established it and set it in motion. We can't avoid the law of sowing and reaping. And it can be a positive subject. It can be positive if we choose to sow right. It will be positive. That is my desire to, as we look at this, to show what the Bible says about it, and then point us to sow seeds, sow good seeds that will result in a positive harvest. That's God's desire, that we would sow the right seed. First of all, I'd like to start out with looking at some scriptures, quite a few scriptures that I'd like to go through and that talk about sowing and reaping. You can turn to Hosea chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, and I'll begin verse 1 through 7. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Here's a sad account of Israel moving away from God. They're sowing away from God into the wind. And what are they going to reap? They're going to reap the whirlwind. When I think of the whirlwind, I think of a tornado. You hear many stories, or maybe you've seen destruction that a tornado can bring. Picture of destruction, no stalk left. It's the kind of sowing that we don't want to do in life. You turn over to Hosea 10. And verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Here's beautiful words of sowing in righteousness. If you plant in righteousness, you will reap God's mercy. God offers mercy to us over and over again. If we choose to plant right, if we choose to have the right actions. And then he also is calling us to break up the fallow ground, that hard ground, the unplowed ground, the ground that's just sitting there, being driven over, packed down, neglected. He's calling us to break up our hard hearts, to till it up so that it can be used in planting. You can turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. There's a different kind of sowing, but the principle is there. How you measure, it will be measured to you. Turn to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 and verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Here it's talking about two specific kinds of sowing. One, by how you talk, and the other by what you do with your hands. It's a very true verse. How we speak and what we do with our hands is how we sow. Turn over to Proverbs 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Here the backslider, sowing to himself, unwilling to follow God, unwilling to be committed, and that is all he reaps. He reaps, he is filled with himself. It's a pretty empty reaping. But the good man, he's willing to follow God and willing to be committed. And it says here he will be satisfied from himself. It's a reaping that brings satisfaction. And it comes when we realize that there is more to life than just me, more to life than just myself. Turn back to Proverbs 11. Many, many verses in the Bible talk about sowing and reaping. Proverbs 11. Verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Do you know what you are planting? Is it questionable? Is it shady? Is it deceitful? Is the outcome unclear or confusing? I don't know if the wicked even think about what they're sowing. Do they think about the harvest? Are they just living and doing what feels good right now? But I think the righteous think about how they're sowing, think about how they're living, and do it with a purpose. And by God's grace, the outcome of the harvest is clear and sure. And now you can turn to Galatians 6. This is probably the most familiar one that we think about when we think about sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This is the benchmark. This is where it starts. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not going to be fooled by how we think. We can deceive ourselves into thinking what we do doesn't really matter. It's not going to make a big difference. But it does. What we think, what we say, what we do is what we sow. And God is not mocked. We will reap accordingly. And that is a sobering thought. I think another way that we can be deceived is, why we can be deceived is because the reaping does not always come right away. It's not immediate. And we can be deceived into thinking that the reaping will not come. We'll come back to Galatians, but I'd like to turn to one more, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labors. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Again, the principle of sowing and reaping clearly laid out here. But the thing that I want to think about in this passage is that God gives the increase. It's nothing that we have done. Yes, we can plant right, but we cannot take the credit for the harvest. We cannot take the credit for the increase. It is God's harvest. It is for his glory. Now, I'd just like to think about some stories in the Bible about sowing and reaping. The Bible is filled cover to cover of stories of men's lives. That's what it's about, how men choose and then what their end is. First one I have, Lot's wife. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What did she plant? She planted a love for Sodom, a love for this world. They pretty much had to be dragged out of the city. And we're told not to look back. And she disobeyed the express command of God, and she reaped the harvest. She became a pillar of salt. We think Sodom was pretty wicked, pretty bad city, and it was. Do you think Lot and his family thought it was bad, or did they just get used to it? What about the world we live in today? Do you think Sodom was any worse than what we live in today? The question I need to ask myself is, am I planting a love for the world, for the things of this world. If God called me out to leave today, would I turn and look back? Would you? I thought of Achan. Achan, he planted the seed of covetousness. That seed grew into a plant, and he took the accursed thing. He took for himself what was God's, what God said was his. And he reaped the harvest of death for him and for his family. His whole family was killed, was stoned. Seems pretty harsh to look at a story like that and see his whole family being destroyed. Do you think his family knew about what he had taken? Maybe he had them convinced that it was okay. It wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know, but these things are written for our learning. I had to ask myself, or you fathers, what seeds are you planting in your family? Are you convincing them that something is okay when it is not? But God will not be fooled. We may be able to hide or cover up seeds for a while. You can cover them up in the ground. But eventually the seed's going to come out. It's going to be known what kind of seed it is. I had to think about 1 year we planted vegetable seeds in trays, and we had fun doing that, planting them in the soil. But we never marked what kind of seeds they were. And we didn't think about it right away. After a bit, we were like, seeds started coming up. What are these? What did we plant here? And you would think you could figure it out pretty easy. But when you plant cucumbers, pumpkins, whatever all you plant, it's hard to tell the difference right away. And it took a while till we figured it out, but we eventually knew what kind of seed it was. You can hide things, but eventually it will be made known. Eventually the fruit will show what it is. Ruth, thought of Ruth. It's a story of good sowing. She planted seeds of kindness and trust in Naomi's God. And she reaped a great blessing of being taken under the wing of Boaz and became his wife. And she had a son who was the grandfather of David and in the line of Christ. An amazing account of redemption, of her choice. And she reaped an abundant harvest. You know, we don't know what all our good sowing will do, where it will take us. We don't know. We don't even know if we'll see results of our sowing. But we can trust that God's law is true. He will not disappoint in the harvest. I thought of Rahab. She planted seeds of trust in God by helping the spies in Jericho. And then she indicated that trust in God by hanging the red cord out the window. And what did she reap? She reaped salvation along with all her house. And she came into the line of Christ. What you plant, you will reap. It says there in Galatians, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Your faith in what you do will make a difference. And I thought of David. David was a man after God's own heart. There are many things we could think about with David, but one that I thought of, he planted the seeds of lust and committed adultery with Bathsheba, and had her husband was murdered with the sword of Ammon. And although David was forgiven and he was broken, he still had to suffer the consequences of his choice. I don't think I'll take the time to read the account, but Nathan came and told him what he had done, and he said he had sinned, and then he had to suffer consequences. His son died, and some other things. God did say, "You will reap for your actions." God is not mocked. Now, I'd like to read a little children's story for the children. It's a story about Peter and the pumpkin seed. I'm not sure if you all have heard it, but I'll just take the time to read it. It has a good lesson. Peter was a young boy who wanted a real job. He wanted to earn some money, and so he convinced his mom to call their neighbor farmer and asked for a job, and he agreed to give him some work. First of all, they went through the farmyard where Farmer Johnson picked up a 2-gallon pail full of pumpkin seeds. Then together they walked out to one of the fields, which was all ready for planting. Peter wasn't quite sure what it was all about, but guessed that his job would have something to do with that seed. Maybe he would have to carry the pail while Farmer Johnson planted it. "Now look," said Farmer Johnson, "do you see this field?" "Yes," said Peter meekly. As he spoke, he thought he had never seen such a big field in all his life. "Well, now I want you to plant these pumpkin seeds in this field, and I want it done very carefully." "You mean me?" said Peter, not sure he had heard correctly. "Yes, you," said Farmer Johnson. I want you to walk down this first furrow, and every 10 steps put in 3 seeds and cover them with the earth. Then when you reach the end of the first row, move over to the next row and work your way back. Go on until the pail is empty." "Yes, Mr. Johnson," said Peter, proud to have a real job at last. "You understand just how I want it done?" "Yes, 3 seeds in each hole and 10 steps between holes." "That's a good boy," said Farmer Johnson, with a smile playing around his weather-beaten face. "I think I'll be going now. Oh, by the way, as soon as you have finished, you can go and have a swim." "Oh, thank you, Mr. Johnson," said Peter eagerly. "I won't be long." "I wonder," said Farmer Johnson to himself as he left and went to his other task. Meanwhile, Peter set to work in earnest. Three seeds, 10 steps. 3 seeds, 10 steps, he said. Then he murmured to himself as he moved slowly down the long row. 3 seeds, then 10 steps. 3 seeds, 10 steps. On and on he went. At last he reached the end of the row and turned eagerly to look back where he had begun. He could hardly see the spot. It was so far away. Then he looked at his pail and his heart sank. It seemed just as full as when he began. "Why," he said to himself, "I put in all those seeds and yet it seems as though I haven't used any. I'll have to work harder still if I'm ever going to get that swim." So he moved over to the next furrow and began his long, slow journey back to where he began. Again it was 3 seeds. 10 steps, 3 seeds, 10 steps. Finally, the second row was finished, and once more he looked at his pail. He felt like crying. Truly, the level of the seed had gone down a little, but oh so little. He was getting just a wee bit tired now and more than a wee bit hot, and as he looked at the huge pile of seed yet to be planted, he told himself that he would never get that swim Farmer Johnson had promised if he continued this way. Just then, a very naughty thought came into his mind. "I wonder whether it would matter," he said to himself, "if I were to put in 4 or 5 seeds each time. That would get the pail emptied much faster, and Farmer Johnson would never know about it, not when the seeds are covered over." He thought about it a while, then looked up at the sun and felt himself getting hotter and hotter, thought again of the swimming, and decided to do it. Now his rate was 5 seeds, 10 steps. 5 seeds, 10 steps. At last he came to the end of the third row and turning worked his way back to finish the fourth. But alas, even then the pail seemed almost as full as before. Tired and discouraged, Peter sat down. "He shouldn't have given me such a big job to do," he said to himself. "He must have known I could never plant all the seed and still have a swim. He didn't mean for me to have a swim at all. I know he didn't, but I can't tell him that I couldn't finish the job. I'll go on and on till, but let me see if it was all right to put in 5 seeds. Why shouldn't I put in 6 or 7? And that is what Peter did all up and down the next 2 rows. It was getting late now. Even 7 seeds in a hole didn't seem to empty the pail any faster. I don't care. I'm going to empty this pail. Whatever I do, I'm going to have my swim. I'll put in a whole handful of seeds in every time. He started off once more. 10 steps, a handful of seeds. 10 steps, a handful of seeds. At this rate, of course, the pail was soon emptied. With great relish, Peter turned it upside down and hurried away to the swimming hole. But somehow, the swim was no fun. He had a strange, uncomfortable feeling inside. Just what was it? Why was it? He could not say, but it was there. Farmer Johnson came by and asked whether he had finished the job. Oh, yes, Peter called. All done. But again, that strange feeling bothered him. Good for you, said Farmer Johnson. But the words didn't do Peter half the good as they usually did. That night he went home. Mother asked him how he had enjoyed himself, and he said, all right. But inside he felt that it was not right. He kept worrying about those pumpkin seeds, and suddenly it dawned on him they would all come up. Until that moment, he had never thought about that. Of course they would come up. He went hot and cold all over. Then he got on his knees beside his bed and asked God to kill some of the seeds and not let them grow. But they were growing, even as he prayed. In a few days, they were all above the ground. Just then, Farmer Johnson took a little walk to find out why it was that Peter had finished his job so much sooner than he expected him to. He smiled a strange little understanding smile. They didn't meet again until the next time they went to church. Now it so happened that Farmer Johnson went in one door and Peter went in the other door, and suddenly, right in the middle of the aisle, they came face to face. Peter thought it was the day of judgment. If he could have done so, he would have turned and run, but something kept him riveted to the spot. He could see nothing but Farmer Johnson, and behind him, millions of pumpkin plants. His lip began to quiver. Farmer Johnson saw and understood perfectly. He had a kind heart and knew at once that Peter had learned his lesson. Don't cry, he whispered as he came very close to Peter's ear. Just remember that the seeds you sow in life always come up. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He squeezed Peter's hand in forgiveness, and Peter wished that he could walk out of that church right then and there and plant the field all over again. Very important lesson to plant right, to be honest in our planting. Remember that, children, when you're given a job to do it right. Now I'd like to look at the 2 kinds of sowing that's mentioned here in Galatians. Sowing to the flesh. What is sowing to the flesh? You can turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Works of the flesh. Turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And then turn to James. James chapter 3 and verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. It's more works of the flesh. Some of them seem pretty far from us. Some of them touch pretty close home. Sowing to the flesh begins in the mind. Every time you hold a grudge, every time you entertain an impure fantasy, wallow in self-pity, speak ill of another person, you're sowing to the flesh. If I'm self-centered, critical of others, or envious, I'm sowing to the flesh. Now I'd like to look at sowing to the Spirit, Galatians 5 again. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You sow to the Spirit when these character qualities are evident in your life. Colossians 3, and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I think Al read the verses about singing. Verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Sowing to the Spirit involves things like forgiveness, kindness, forbearing one another, having charity, letting the peace of God rule, praising God, having the word of Christ dwell in our hearts, and then doing all word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. We cannot sow to the Spirit unless we have been born again and have put on the new man by the power of Jesus. If you're trying in your own strength to live like a Christian, having a form of godliness but denying the power, your efforts will be worthless. It won't work. We first of all need the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and his power to sow to the Spirit. Now, with the two kinds of sowing, there are two kinds of reaping. Galatians 6 said, there will be, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death. The reapings of sowing to the flesh is death. Romans 2. Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, Whosoever thou art that judgest, wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. An impenitent heart brings the judgment of God upon their lives according to the deeds, according to what they sowed. Proverbs 13:15 says, "The way of the transgressor is hard." The result of living or sowing to the flesh results in a hard way. The broad way is easy to get onto, but it keeps getting more demanding. It keeps getting harder and harder. Satan makes it only hard enough that it looks harder to go back and start over. And then he forces you in a little farther, kind of like a squeeze chute. It's hard to turn around, hard to go back, and you have a false glimpse of freedom ahead of you until it's finally too late. Now, reapings from spiritual sowings. Romans 8:6 says, I read the first part of that verse. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The reapings of sowing to the Spirit will be life and peace. What a contrast from eternal death, decay, and corruption. What harvest do you want? Romans 2, 10 and 11. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Righteous doing good brings a harvest of glory, honor, and peace. It's easy to know what kind of harvest we want, what harvest we want to reap, but the harvest is determined by the sowing. That is the test. That is the challenge. That's the hard work. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. What are you sowing? That will you also reap? Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you that we can be here to worship you. Lord, help us to think about how we are sowing in life. Help us to choose to sow right, choose to follow you, make right choices. Help us to think about the harvest and where we want to be. Thank you for your word and for the guidance it is to our lives. Just bless each one here. Thank you for each person. Help each of us to go from here better fitted to serve you. Pray for those that couldn't be here with us. Be near to them where they are. Pray for those that are sick. Just bless them. Go with us the rest of the day. Help us to be a blessing to those we meet. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.